There were a few announcements that I left out, and I apologize. First and foremost, you may have noticed that it looked a little different when you came in today. We have redecorated, and I hope you like our new walls and our new smell. It's wonderful. Now, actually, thank you to the generosity of Pisgah Child Development Ministries and the grants that they have received. The floors in the back hallway there and all the classrooms, as well as the conference room, and both bathrooms here are being recovered with, if you've been upstairs, with the flooring that looks like it does upstairs. So it's going to be very, very nice. And also, the bathrooms in the gym are being totally redone. And if you've ever been in the bathrooms of the gym, you know that you never want to go back in the bathrooms in the gym. They are scary bad, but they're going to be very nice when it's all said and done. Glenn Clamp's working very hard in there, and there's been some wonderful donations, but also the generosity of the preschool committee, so thank them for that, but also please be patient with our progress as we do that. Also, I want to let you know that November, there's some big things coming up. On the first Sunday, which is 2 weeks from today, we have Pisgah's Got Talent. So if you haven't signed up, you need to, because I know many of you people have talent. You may not think you have talent, but you have talent. And we want to see your talent. And we want you to show up to see other people's talent. So please, there's sign-up sheets. Sign up for that. And then a couple weeks after that, we have something that everyone looks forward to every year. It's the congregational meeting. It's so exciting because, like I said, today's the last day to sign up for council nominations. You need to go ahead and do that because we're going to be voting on them that day, as well as endowment board members. And everybody's favorite part, we're going to be voting on the 2024 spending plan for ministry. We love to vote on the budget, don't we? Because nothing beats coming to church and talking about money that we don't have. It's awesome. And so, I have combined the two. Check this out. As many of you know, I am a very amateur magician. And so, check what I have figured out. Completely blank piece of paper. Going right in here. And figure it out. That's going the wrong way. Still the wrong way. Let's try this again. Worked well in the first service. Ah, there it goes. Wrong side. Check what I did. I made money. That's talent right there. You want to know how we fix budget problems? We print our own money. That's how the government does it. But it's a real dollar. This is not counterfeit. I made real dollars. Now, unfortunately, I have not figured out how to make anything larger than a one, and so we're going to have to be printing a lot. But wouldn't it be nice if we could just do this? If we had some way to print our own money legally? Or what if money really did grow on trees? Who among us would not plant that today in their backyard? I think I would plant five. Just say it. Because I don't know about you, but I have found in my lifetime that you can never have enough money. Right? Because the truth is, when you don't, it's stressful. Lack of money equals stress, or is it just me? Because there's very few things in this world that lead to more stress and stressful situations than money. True or false? Because it brings to high blood pressure, sleepless nights, stomach issues. And when you put those things together with, another person in your life, it gets even worse. One of the leading causes of divorce is money, or usually lack thereof, right? I mean, I'm sure that divorce didn't happen because we're loaded, but it's the lack of money. And you know why? Because typically one partner finds his or her security in having money. Because when there's money in the bank, there's security. On the flip side of that, usually because God loves to bring opposites together, you have someone who finds his or her identity in money. And what I mean by that is their self-worth is whether or not they're handling their money correctly and whether or not they have it in the bank. And so when you put someone who only feels secure when it's there and someone who doesn't feel like they have worth if it's not there, well, when it gets together, right? Because money is a problem, and not just personally. If you've ever been in business or been a part of a business, you know money's an issue there too, right? Unless you are part of a Fortune 500 company, and even there it's an issue because you have layoffs and cutbacks and closures when there's not money. And oh, did I mention that sometimes money becomes issues in churches? I know that's surprising to you. I've been a part of four churches. Well, I've been a pastor at four churches, and I can assure you every single one of them had money problems. Maybe that's my fault. No, it's not. Because you see, in each of these congregations, I've talked with other people, other colleagues. Deacon Deborah has too, I'm sure. It's kind of across the board. Oh, sure, there are some churches out there that are plush, but even though they struggle from time to time. I have a friend whose church got a gift of $5 million that they put in an endowment in the bank. And do you know what that did to giving in that church? Why give if it's not needed? Because, you know, that's what God said, right? Because money actually does come up in the Bible a time or two, or a lot. Because, well, it's a part of people's lives. And because it's a part of people's lives, and God cares about our lives, Jesus talks about money. But sometimes people come to him about money. And even Jesus had money problems. Well, not like we have money problems, but money problems all the same. That's what was going on in today's gospel reading. Some Pharisees and some other Jewish leaders had just been, well, they were trying to deal with Jesus, and it wasn't going well for them. So they sent some disciples along with some Herodians, and they were people who were very loyal to Herod, the king. And they went to Jesus. Now, usually these two groups didn't get along, but they had a common enemy, right? And the enemy of my enemy is my friend. So they went together trying to trap Jesus. And how did they try to trap him? With money. Because let's be honest, nothing will get you between a rock and a hard place more than money, right? You want to spend it here, and you got to pay bills here. And what does that end up? A rock and a hard place, because you can't have both. So what did they come to Jesus do? They said, Jesus, is it lawful for us to pay taxes? Now, here in our culture, it'd be like, well, yeah, you might want to do that. But for them, it was a whole theological issue. Because you see, only Roman money could be used to pay Rome. And guess whose picture was on Roman money? The emperor. That's why Jesus said, whose money is it? Because, see, if Jesus had answered, no, it is not lawful for you to pay taxes, well, then the Herodians and the Romans would have been like, we can't have this, going on, and Jesus would have been in trouble. If, however, he said, yes, you should pay taxes, well, that makes him a heretic. And why? Because on that money was Caesar, was the emperor. And I don't know if you're aware, but in the Ten Commandments, it says something about you shall not have graven images. And what's a graven image? A coin. And Caesar knew this too, because it was a way of honoring him. It was a way of saying, yes, this is my God. And so when you paid your taxes to Rome, you had a reminder of that, which was a bit of a problem for faithful Jews, right? And so Jesus said, he asked him, he goes, okay, well, get me a coin. And sure enough, these faithful Jews, they pulled one right on out. They had one on them, even though they shouldn't have, but they did. And they said, it's Caesar. And Jesus' response is, then you give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and you give to God what belongs to God. So, What then does that say to us? Do we give to Washington what is Washington's? But it also says in God we trust on here, doesn't it? So what do we do with money? What exactly does this say to us? Well, it says that we have an image problem. Because you see, we, like those in those days, also have images of things that we hold on to for our safety and our security. And while we don't call them God, oh, we make them gods all the same, don't we? Now, for some, it is money. It's a very easy God to have because it brings safety, it brings security, it makes us feel worthy and wealthy. For some people, it's our hobbies. Our hobbies become our gods. It's something that we love to do more than anything else. For some people, it's their children or their job, which are not bad things at all. But it's all about where we prioritize these things, right? Because here's the reality. If you want to know who your God is, it's where you spend your time, your money, and your energy. So tell me, where does most of your time, energy, and money go? Does it go to making more of this? Does it go to your family? Does it go to your job? Does it go to having fun? Where does your time, energy, and money go? And how much of it goes to God? Because you see, my friends, when we ask, well, if we're giving to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and we give to God what belongs to God, well, what belongs to God? Well, Miss Dietta asked this question earlier. What was made in the image of God? You were. So, what are we called to give to God? Ourselves. Our time. Our energy. Our money. Everything we have belongs to God. Because we are created in the image of God. And therefore, what we give to God is ourselves. But you see, God realizes that we are not able to give all that we have. He only asks for a portion of it. A portion of our time, a portion of our energy, a portion of our money. And yet, somehow, we still find that hard to do because we've got an image problem. We forget who and whose we are. We forget that when we look in the mirror, we are seeing the very face of God. We forget that when others see us, they are seeing the very face of God. And so, we find ourselves involved in other images and spending our time, our energy, and our money there, don't we? So what do we do? Well, my friends, we have a choice to make. We get to choose what we do with all that we have, right? We have a choice there. And that choice isn't easy to make because sometimes other things do get in the way. But I think, first and foremost, we need to remember God and what we do with ourselves. And that we are made in God's image and therefore we are to give to God what is God's. And that's become increasingly more difficult. I think COVID has really messed us up. Really messed us up. Because, you know, standing up here talking about money used to be one thing. But, you know, hey, people would say, well, but I give my time. But you know what? A lot of people don't even do that anymore. And you know, that was always somewhat of a struggle. But in the last few years, it has been a huge struggle. I mean, Glenn, how many people have signed up? One. Deacon Deborah, how many are we short on trunks? Two. All you got to do is sign up. And I realize that, I mean, granted, as good Lutherans, we tend to sign up like 20 minutes beforehand. But we got to sign up. We got to step up and do what God's calling us to do. It's okay to spend some of your time, some of your energy, some of your money on things in your faith. Why? Because you were created in the image of God, and that's what God's people do. We sign up for stuff. We show up for stuff. It's okay. I realize that our calendars got filled with other things, but it's time to take a look at that and reprioritize. It's time to make what's important, important. It's time to give to God what belongs to God. And you and I belong to God. We were created in God's image. And we need to show that image to the world. It's our mission. We share our gifts to show God's love. And that's exactly what we do. When we share our gifts, we are showing that image to people around us. Whether it be as a congregation here doing ministry or out there in the world doing what we're called to do. When we share our gifts, when we share our time, when we share our money, when we share our energy, we are showing other people the very image of God, a God who loves them, a God who forgives them, a God who saves them. And for some people, that's the only image of God they're ever going to see is you. So my friends, you are created in the image of God. Give to God what belongs to God. Amen.